Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dias, Troy Hall, and Christina Brocato. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and in deference to our rock star guest today, good morning in the Mountain Time Zone, the oft-forgotten-about Mountain Time Zone, and greetings to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. A week before Black Friday, here we are on the Radio Free Credit Union Show, broadcasting live from the offices of eloquentonline.net in the beautiful city of New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and north. And east of me, your good buddy and mine, he is Tough Talking Troy. He is a COO of South Carolina Federal Credit Union, and we say good morning to him. Hey, Troy, how are you?
I am doing wonderful. And, you know, I normally always open up this little section with saying something like, you know, we're here from beautiful Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains, the sun still shines. But now today, I get an opportunity to tell you to say, welcome to Charleston, South Carolina, where every day is Bank Transfer Day.
Yes, it is. Every day is. Wow. The studio audience is really on top of things today. I think we've got mostly these Occupy Wall Street types who have nothing else to do now. So before they move back home with their parents, they decided to come in and make their $10 as part of our studio audience. Now, speaking of every day is Bank Transfer Day, you are answering the question that we are posing today. Now that Bank Transfer Day is over, now what? And you are doing something to fill that vacuum. Tell us about it.
Yes. Beth Jaskiewicz, who is our Senior Vice President of Marketing, and myself have developed a little program at the credit union, and we've now taken it statewide, and we are beginning to launch it nationally. And basically what it is to capitalize on this direction and the conversation in the marketplace that has now elevated credit unions to the A-list. As I've said before numerous times on the sessions, we have needed a national branding opportunity for us, and the reason it is so important for our industry is because we are a cooperative and because we are a little different in the marketplace in how we operate our business model than in others. It is important that we capitalize on that. And just like the milk industry, the dairy industry has the Got Milk program, and the pork industry has the other white meat. The problem that we've always had with national campaigns is that nobody knew who we were. When you said Got Milk, you didn't have to explain who the heck the milk was. You knew it came from a cow. You knew you drank it. That was really good. When you came up to the other white meat, you already knew it was a pig. You knew it was something other than bacon. You kind of got that. But when you said credit unions, many times people scratched their heads, didn't know what they were. It was too confusing. But regardless of what has happened, the elevation of credit unions now in the marketplace is that people are considering us as a viable alternative for financial services. And this whole concept of Bank Transfer Day, regardless of whether it created huge positive, negative, whatever happened, it created a huge conversation for credit unions. And our opportunity was to leverage that. So we actually trademarked the message, every day is Bank Transfer Day, and we're now providing it to all credit unions to say, use every day is Bank Transfer Day. And we have a very simplistic program to make it useful, to make it effective.
It's simple. It's not simplistic. It's simple because it is a very, very good, very, very good idea behind it, because I purposely waited just to kind of see what happened. You know, I think it was kind of good that we weren't on the air last week with Veterans Day, because I wanted to see 2 weeks after Bank Transfer Day where we were. And I'll be honest with you, I've kind of sensed a palpable emptiness of sort of like, okay, now what? We had this humongous, to put it in musical terms, which we do a lot on this show, we had this amazing crescendo. from silence to this great, great resounding noise, positive noise and energy for credit union. And so I'm really glad that our buddies out in South Carolina are going to do something with that visibility. Because as I've said over and over and over again on this program and anywhere else that people will listen, Bank Transfer Day, the great irony of it is that it actually makes the bank stronger. They are all too happy to get rid of some of these $600 a day, you know, $600 average daily balance retail customers to whom we're adding absolutely nothing in terms of profitability to our big friends at the big banks. And so I think it's great that you guys out in South Carolina, just like you did with the seceding from the union, are leading the way.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you say that. But one of the things that we discovered is that the membership that we have seen a growth in, which realistically for the month of October, which we tracked, actually we tracked our growth from September the 30th when Bank of America announced its $5 to
Yeah. I'm in a lot of interference on your line there, buddy. All right, yeah, we lost Troy. We're having a little trouble. I was having a little trouble hearing him. He might be on his cell phone. Well, listen, if you think about people that have really, really know what's going on out there in the credit union marketplace, and you start looking on your hands for the top 10 personalities out there in the credit union marketplace, before you run out of your first five set of fingers, you're going to get to our next guest. Denise Wymore is everywhere in the credit union marketplace. She's the vice president of member loyalty at Del Norte Credit Union in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And after the break, we're going to ask her, hey, Bank Transfer Day is over, now what? And we'll do it right after this. You are back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. We've got Troy back. And so we can say where the talk is hot and the hosts are
hotter. And next much, week much they'll be cuter because our buddy Christina will be back with us.
Yes, she will. Well, listen, like I said, you start talking about people that know what's going on in the credit union marketplace, you don't need to look any further than our guest. Hey, Denise Wymore, how are you?
I am great. I have to tell you, I am very impressed with this. I'm very impressed with your studio audience, and I'm glad that those folks found a home in your studio.
Yes, yes. We generally get the people who didn't make it through the management training program at Subway Sandwiches, but this audience looks a little more cerebral, a little more collegiate. So I think their time out at the Occupy Wall Street got them prepared for our humble show. So we're happy to have them. We only pay them $10 and feed them a cheap breakfast, so we don't expect a whole lot. Well, listen, Denise, let me ask you, Bank Transfer Day, it's over. It came, it went, it was an awesome thing. The most visibility credit unions have probably ever gotten in my 10 to 12 years of working in credit unions. I want to ask you, now that Bank Transfer Day is over, now what?
I'll tell you, you're absolutely right. The Bank Transfer Day was a gift handed to a marketer in our lap with a giant bow on it. And anyone that ignored it was an idiot because you're so right in the fact that nobody put this on the calendar. We didn't know. And I think what really legitimized it was the fact that it was a person outside of credit unions that just started a Facebook campaign.
Yep.
And we in Santa Fe worked with all the credit unions in Santa Fe to do joint advertising. We got the Join the Credit Union Revolution logo T-shirts from CU Swag, and we plastered that all over the city. And in fact, I would love your opinion on this, Jason. What happened was a huge success on that Saturday. Even though it snowed, we still had, you know, record number of new accounts. I know, everything was working against us. It snowed. But that Saturday night, someone went around Santa Fe, and in four buildings, one of them being the big Wells Fargo, they spray-painted our Revolution logo on the
wow.
wall of the
Yeah. So, that is a wow.
Now we're not going to see any ATM video of you running around with a spray can, are we?
I can't tell you how many people said, okay, we need to prick under your fingernails. But here's the deal: it made the news, right? It made the news and it made the Sunday paper, but they pinned it on the Occupy Santa Fe people. They didn't make any connection to the Join the Credit Union Revolution, although it was our logo. They didn't.
Right.
All it said was revolution.
Well,
so your opinion, was that successful or was that...
Well, I mean, I guess you could always fall back on the marketer's belief and the way that some people feel it's axiomatic that no publicity is bad publicity. But this is my problem with the Occupy Wall Street folks. It started off as kind of a great grassroots thing, and it got a little bit ugly. And but I think as long as people aren't associating it with the credit union, you guys should be happy for the coverage.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I kind of agree with that myself, because the bottom line is that, you know, I don't support, and I know that you guys don't either, in defacing, you know, property of other people to get your point across. There are other ways to do it, but I think the idea is that at least if you didn't get the negative attached to it that you were defacing property to get your point across, then, you know, everything would work out pretty well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, how we're moving forward, we really were committed to the fourth or the fifth, whatever the day was, to not be a one and done. And so we're getting together with the local credit unions and saying, okay, how do we continue this? I love that every day is bank transfer day, because that's exactly how we feel. And we still have people coming in every day declaring, I am transferring my money from Bank of America or Wells Fargo. But what we're really focusing on at Del Norte is we've been talking about this, but now we are crazy motivated to do it, and that is to make the onboarding process less painful, because we know that has been the inertia that has kept people at the evil bank. It's just a pain in the ass to move your checking account.
Yeah.
And so I've never seen a switch kit that I thought was any good. We don't have instant issue debit yet, which is, you know, everything. And so rather than... We will advertise still, but behind the scenes, it's super important, and it's really lit a fire under our butts to get the onboarding process as simple and easy and wonderful as possible.
Very cool. Troy?
You're right. I think that the whole issue with the switch kit, which is the approach that we've taken, is we have to put a person with the switch kit process, because regardless of how technologically advanced we are with our abilities to be able to online text and do all of this, people still want someone to help them walk it through it, because it's still a sensitive kind of process, and it is confusing. And I equate this whole switch kit very similar to the way airlines were successful in actually moving us to self-boarding, and that was when they brought the receptionist and brought the reservationist out front to stand beside the computer and show you how to do it. Then it started to work. And I think with switch kits, in order for credit unions to make them work, they're going to have dedicated people who say, I will help you walk through this, not just go online, touch this little button, and it'll all be done. And if we can get people more involved in the process of switching, I think we'll see greater success.
Yep, that's exactly right. And my little tiny credit union in Portland, Oregon, under $100 million in assets, they have what they call a human switch kit. Her name is Debbie,
yep.
And she is that person. And it's amazing. It's the thing is, some people just want to do it themselves, but she offers, you know, I'll help you do it. Some people leave their statements and say, you know, pretend you're me and call and make these changes.
Yeah,
really
we've and part of what we have done for the electronic group is now we have what we call the global chat. You don't have to be inside of our home banking in order to chat with us. We'll chat with you if you just sign on to the website and want to talk about something. And so we are looking at ways in which we'll leverage that switch kit to that chat, so that if you've got questions, you want somebody to talk to walk you through it, we're there to do it. So I think you guys are spot on with that there. I think that's really great.
And you know what?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, the one thing that worked was Bill Pay. Remember when Bill Pay first came out and everybody said, you got to have it because it's sticky?
Yep.
Bill Pay
yeah.
is sticky. It was right. Bill Pay is very sticky, and people feel stuck. And it took an idiot move like $5 charge for a debit card at Bank of America to get people unstuck.
It is so
but
true.
But I think that the goal is, once they move over to the credit union, then they're yours. You know, one of my favorite phrases, the day that you sign a new member is the day you start to lose them. And it's not just about getting their checking account, Ben. It's about really building their loyalty and making those accounts profitable, and that's the other thing we're really focused on. We don't want a bunch of checking accounts, but shame on us if that's all we get.
Right.
So we're really working on that.
Yeah. Hey, I want to turn to another question for you because, by the way, I'm just telling you how much I love you to death. And ever since I first saw you when you presented at our chapter meeting in Ohio, and with my really good friends, Tammy Duncan, that you worked with,
yeah,
and Suzanne McCann to put that program on, I was just in love with you. And but so now I've got to ask you, because you've got all this energy around you, you have all this excitement. You're the person who says, so what for a 3% return rate on your thing? You've got a 97% success failure rate. I love that. I thought that was brilliant. So how do we get this energy going for our young, passionate credit union professionals? You know, our friend Tim McAlpin came out with an article, and he suggests why young, passionate credit union professionals are leaving the marketplace. Well, what do you think we need to be doing that we're not doing?
You know, I loved Tim's article, and everybody should read it, because I thought it was really well-researched and really posed a great question. And I have been saying this for years, and someday, God help me, it's going to happen. We have to stop treating our entry, our front line, our tellers, like second-class citizens. We don't pay them well. We don't train them well. It's amazing to me, having been in credit unions now, wait for it, 31 years. I started as a teller and clawed my way to the top. My very first job as a teller in my HR orientation, they showed me a copy of the organizational chart for the credit union, and I wasn't on it. And so I asked the HR gal, I said, well, where are the tellers? She goes, oh, well, they're down here. And she held the paper up and waved her hand below the paper.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yikes.
Isn't that awesome? So my first professional goal was to get on the piece of paper.
Piece of paper, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I want to actually be a box in the org chart and not this waving of a hand below it. But that speaks volumes, I think, of how we still, you know, treat tellers. And like it or not, I don't think there's ever going to be a day where we don't have a branch. There's going to be people want, when it comes to their money, it's too personal. People want people. And we don't know if our next credit union CEO is on our teller line. We've never looked at it that way. We've never thought, you know, can we get some really smart people and start really, you know, nurturing them and keeping them engaged and pay them what they're worth and really look at the value they have to the credit union brand. We've never done it.
Well, listen, Denise, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. Stay right where you are, and
okay,
we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show on blogtalkradio.com. Call in live to talk, 646-915-9274.
All right, you are back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. Her name is Denise Wymore. She is the Vice President of Member Loyalty. I love that, at Del Norte Credit Union out in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And, Denise, my next question for you, I think, and again, I can be wrong. I've been wrong. I've been very wrong. But I think in some ways the credit union marketplace has spent a decade trying to convince American consumers that credit unions and banks are completely different. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think you're so spot on with that. And, you know, I can say this now because I don't work for a trade association, but I'm like CUNA. You know, here's the deal. The day that I saw Dan Mica on MSNBC begging for TARP, I knew we were screwed. It was like our National Trade Association, their reaction to, you know, the economy going in the crapper was to belly up to the TARP trough and say, you know, we need the money. Of course, his thing was, well, you know, we're not going to use it if we don't have to, but we sure would like access to those funds.
Yep.
And I thought, my God, you can't, do you know the cooperative principles, Mr. Mica? Because you can't, you know, suckle from the government teat and still remain a cooperative.
Yeah.
So I was very, very outspoken against TARP. I even had some good friends tell me to tone it down, and I said, absolutely not, because you do not want to be the government's biatch, right? And now everybody's patting themselves on the back in the credit union movement saying, see, we're TARP-free, we're TARP-free. And the sad part was, you know, brand is your reputation. It's not your logo. It's not your tagline. You know, it's not a marketing campaign. It's the decisions you make every single day. And that was a huge tarnish, I think, on the credit union reputation and blurred the lines even more between what is the difference between a bank and a credit union. It was pitiful. It was shameful. And I think it's so ironic that Bank of America, the TARP-taking, you know, whore that they are, is helping us reclaim our difference.
Yeah.
It really is kind of an interesting couple of years when you think about it.
Well, it is, and I think that, you know, in looking at that, you know, Jason and I, we've talked a lot about that whole distinction between credit unions and banks and the focus. And for me, where Jason and I agree on is that I think marketers have spent entirely too much time directed by their board in many cases to actually stay away from that mean word bank, which quite frankly is more of a verb today than it is anything else. And, you know, and I think that the difference is that we have not been able to ever get our voice elevated to explain the philosophical difference because we have spent too much time standing on the side of the road saying, we're a credit union, not a bank, but we never bother to define it. We never bother to really explain it or really make it a part of the fiber of who we are by remembering that the credit union difference was not built on price. It was built on accessibility. It was built on ownership. It was built on loyalty. It was built on education. It was built on at least some form of a democratic process. And we have failed to get that message out in the marketplace. We only want to talk about credit unions because we think that they are the lowest prices on this and the best prices on that. If you've looked at the pricing lately of credit unions, you'll find out that we're screwed for that message because that doesn't happen. So, you know, it's really important when we talk about this that we maintain a good philosophical difference, and the differentiator for us is how we will come across to the consumer, not based on just the price of how we come across to the consumer.
Yeah, I would agree.
So that sort of leads me then to this thought I had to follow up, because really I think it's a little generational based in the young professionals leaving the credit union movement, potentially, you know, based on Tim's idea, but to kind of follow up on that is, you know, credit unions, we know that in 2020, 40% of the workforce will be Gen Y. What do you think that credit unions need to do right now, today? Don't wait until January of 12, but what do we need to do right now today to make sure that we are prepared for that workforce of 2020 that will be affecting our decisions? And also, before you even get to that, let me just stay on top of that. We've got a young man named Peyton that we've talked about on this show before who is the millennial group, and we know that by 2025, 75% of that group will be part of the workforce, 50% of which will be women. So what do credit unions need to do today in order to stay relevant for those two dates?
And Jason, we didn't talk ahead of time. You just sent me the email these questions, but I had to chuckle because last month, my second book was published, and it's called The 2020 Vision of Marketing. Did you know that?
I did know that, yep.
Or was that serendipitous? Because I wrote about this topic and did a lot of research on it, and basically, I won't ruin it because I want you all to buy the book, of course, but what I preached in the book is that marketers need new tools in their toolbox. We have to abandon all of everything that we know. Direct mail, radio, television, when you look at the trends of how newspapers are folding, people are willing to pay money to avoid commercials. There's all kinds of devices out there where I will gladly pay to avoid any kind of marketing. The U.S. Postal Service is on the verge of bankruptcy. You know, there's just all these things that are telling us we can't keep doing what we've always been doing. Social media, I don't think, is the answer as far as, you know, well, let's all get a Facebook page, because I think a lot of people just did it because, you know, everyone else has one and they don't know what the hell they're doing. What it really comes down to, again, is your reputation. Marketers, I believe, have to move from being product pushers and advertisers to really being strategic. They need to understand the strategy. That's why my title is not Vice President of Marketing. I'm Vice President of Member Loyalty. Because if we don't build member loyalty, we're screwed. And it's about managing moments of truth and being really partners in the organization to understand that all the marketing in the world doesn't mean anything if the moments of truth are lost. And those moments of truth are the touch points of branch, phone, and web. We've got to get better at the basics. We absolutely have to get better at the basics. And there's this great Filene report that just came out, Customer Experience and Credit Union Opportunities, and it was a collaboration with McKinsey and Company. And it was really exciting to see this because it just came out, and it really validates a lot of what I've said. Credit unions have higher satisfaction scores than banks, and yet they don't have increased market share. Why is that?
Yep.
And the number one reason is we're not good at the basics. We're really nice to people. We're very friendly and folksy, but we're not good at the basics. We do not focus our resources on being easy, fast, efficient. People put up with us because we smile and we're sweet.
Right.
We really have to get better at the basics.
Well, listen, I've waited over a year to get you on the program. We talked a little bit about the article Tim had about how why young, passionate people are leaving the credit union marketplace. Personally, I just think it's economics. It's just an economic reality now that people are going where the money is. But I'll tell you, Bank Transfer Day, like I said before, ironically makes banks stronger, and I know that the credit union marketplace needs people like you in it. I followed you for years. You know, you and I have been out there on the speaking circuit for years. The credit union marketplace is better with you in it, and I want to wish you continued success in everything you do, and I certainly hope in 2012 we can get you back on the show. But thank you so much for joining us.
I would love to. Thank you so much. It's great.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
And we'll be back right after this. All right, you are back on the Radio Free Credit Union show. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. And Troy, a little bit of a update. First of all, I've got to thank United SA Federal Credit Union. We did our last concert for financial literacy for the year 2011 at the beautiful University of the Incarnate Word in downtown San Antonio over in Alamo Heights on Wednesday. It was myself and Nike, very intimate meeting with their business club and interested students. They gave out an iPad, some great gifts, and we had a great conversation about joining a credit union and, of course, the values of having a plan, being patient, saving, dreaming, and doing. And so I want to thank all the people at United SA. And Troy, I was thinking we were not going to do a show next week. I know you're going to be in Disney World with your family, but I am going to do a show next week. And if you're listening now or on the archive, all we're going to do is play Christmas music next week on the Radio Free Credit Union show. And we're going to tell you how you can get this Christmas music between the ears of your members on your website, on hold, however you want to use it. This is some of the most beautiful Christmas music you will ever hear, all organized and arranged and composed by our master violinist, Nike Van Wyk. He plays all the instruments on all the tracks. Just amazing. So we'll have ourselves a little celebration of Black Friday with some Christmas music next week, Troy.
Yeah, that would be great. And I'm sorry that I won't be able to join you, but I will be wearing the Mickey ears and taking 9 of our family members with us. So it'll be hallway excursion.
And when we get you back on the program in a couple of weeks, you're going to have to keep us posted on the Every Day is Bank Transfer Day. I just think it's great that our humble co-host, the nicest guy you will ever meet, Tough Talkin' Troy Hall, is doing his part to fill the void, to answer the question, Bank Transfer Day is over, now what? And I know you guys are doing that. And again, I had a little Tough Talkin' tweet earlier this week, Troy. I said, in the wake of Bank Transfer Day, people need to go ask their marketing and their business development folks, what have you done more of this week, tweet or contact small businesses in your area? Because I think that's one of the things that's going to really make the momentum of Bank Transfer Day carry over is if credit unions will get out there and intentionally engage this tapestry of a marketplace that we have now where very, very many people are both individuals and entrepreneurs and don't want to do their retail and commercial banking in separate spots.
Well, you're exactly right, and that's the one thing that I unfortunately got disconnected when I was making my comment earlier is we did not see just the throwaway accounts coming over to the credit union, and as a matter of fact, picked up a number of commercial relationships specifically because it prompted them from their personal side and then realized they could bring their commercial side over as well. It's done very, very well for us. So.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, listen, about 20 seconds left in the show. On behalf of my family, to yours, Troy, God bless you. Have a great Thanksgiving and a safe trip down to Disney World, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
All right, everybody else, happy Thanksgiving. The blessings of the season may they accrue to you and your family now and always, and we'll see you next Friday on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. Talk to you then.